This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Well, listen, I want to jump in this morning. I have a summer word that I believe God has given me for your life today. As I was even putting this together, I'm like, God, this seems like such a fall message. Like, this seems like something you would have me preach as we lean into the fall, not in the middle of July. And yet I still felt so much in my heart that this is what the Lord wanted me to share. So maybe what I'm sharing today is for somebody in this room. I almost believe that if one person grabbed a hold of it today, then it was worth all of it. So I hope this is for you today, but I believe I have a word for your life today that God's given me. So buckle up, hang in there. Can I also encourage you, sometimes when we preach as from this stage, it's always crazy or a little bit nerve-wracking because I'm like, man, is someone going to be offended today? How many know the gospel's offensive? So don't get offended, all right? Please don't get offended today. I hope you grab a hold of it, what God wants to say to you. So we all have these seasons, right, where we struggle to stay consistent, where we struggle to stay committed to certain things. And yet God calls us to commit. Like, Christianity is all about commitment. That's what Christianity, the whole premise of Christianity is about commitment. And yet many times in our culture, in our world, we are so quick to throw in the towel on so many of the commitments in life. We throw in the towel, you see it all over, people throwing in the towel on marriage. They throw the towel in on relationships. They even throw the towel in on church and on their faith. And so many times I've heard it over and over, and you've heard it too, but even in our culture, in our church, meet people in our community where someone would say, well, you know what, they used to serve God. Or I've heard that phrase like, well, you know, once upon a time, they were so strong in their faith. Like, they were a Christian once. I've heard that before. Or like, the one I hear in church all the time is like, well, they used to be so involved. I don't know what happened to them. And I have a word for our lives today. Last week, if you were here, and you don't have to be, but go back and watch it because it was powerful. At least I think it was. But it was a powerful message. And we started in the Gospel of Luke 24. And we talked about how we are here in our lives. And many times while we're here, we're looking to there. Like, if I could just get there, everything else in my life will change. And we talked about like how, you know, like this funny thing happens is that many times once we're here and once we get there, how many know there changes its name to what? Here. It changes its name. And so what we really need to understand, it's not really here or there, but it's on the way that God wants to develop us and where God wants to change us. It's on the way there. So we looked at Luke chapter 24, and let me give you some quick background. Jesus, in this particular scripture, Jesus has died, he's been buried, he's raised from the grave, and now he is spending time with his disciples, and he wants to give them, at the end of this scripture, one more challenge before he ascends into heaven. And it's a really unique challenge, and I've read this scripture, and you probably have too, many times, and I never really understood the challenge that he told them, that he gave his disciples before he was to give them the Holy Spirit. And the challenge, it was a challenge before that they needed before they were going to walk into the purposes that God has for their lives. And I don't think it was a challenge that was just for them, but I think it's also a challenge that's for us today. So Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 45, it's on the screen if you need it. It says this, then he opened their minds, talking about Jesus, so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Okay, he's just saying, hey, this all just happened. And repentance, come on, hallelujah, for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 49, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. And then he says this, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, he uses these words, I want you to grasp today, stay in the city. In other words, I want you to get this. What he's saying is this, I've got something for you, but first you have to stay. He goes on, he says, when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great, great, great joy. Verse 53, I love this. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. What did they do? They stayed continually. It was a key to the early church, and the same key for our church today, and the same key for you and I walking in the purposes of God for your life. I want to talk to you, simply titled today, listen, The Power of Stay. The power of stay. Staying power. Like in a world that totally celebrates starting things, I want to give you some staying power to keep going, to keep doing, to keep being what God has called you to do and what and who God's called you to be. And it takes staying power in a world that says, hey, just go back and forth, stay on the search. You know, you've seen the bumper sticker, all who have wandered have not been lost or something stupid like that. What about staying? About 7 or 8 years ago, I was having lunch with a friend of mine at a restaurant during camp season that we were running in New Hampshire. And we're having this conversation, and he says, hey, I've just started investing in this new thing. And he's like, you should get in on this, man. This is fail-proof. You should get in on this as well. And I'm like, well, what is it? What is this new thing? And he says, it's this thing called Bitcoin. And I'm like, well, tell me about it. I've never heard about this Bitcoin thing. And he's like, well, I bought 10 of these coins at $200 a piece. And I'm like, well, really? Like, that's crazy. I'd love to see one of these coins. And he's like, you don't understand. You can't see the coins. And I'm like, well, where are they? And literally he's like, well, they're out there. They're just out there. They're in the cloud. I'm like, Stephen, like, you got scammed, bro. Like, somebody told you, give me $2,000 and I'm going to give you some invisible coins, right? Like, man, you've been scammed. What are you talking about? And he's like, no, it's the future. And he tried to explain it to me. And I mean, I just couldn't grasp it. Like, if you've ever been there, like, and someone's tried to explain the cryptocurrency to you and you tuned out, that's what I did. Like, I'm like, it just didn't make any sense. Literally about six to eight months after this conversation we had, he calls me and he says, hey, you're not going to believe it. These coins that were $200 a piece have tripled. They're worth $600 a piece. He's like, what do you think I should do? And with all wisdom given to me as a pastor, I said, Stephen, you better sell that stuff fast. Like, get your money and run. And he sold it. Like, he cashed out. True story, as I was preparing for this message this morning, I said, you know, I'm going to look it up. And I looked up Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is no longer worth $200 a coin or $600 a coin. As of today, a Bitcoin, one coin, is worth $119,000. One coin. For my friend Stephen, it was about a $1.2 million loss that he had. And as any good friend would be, I screenshot him a picture of what a Bitcoin was worth today. Just say, hey man, look what you did. There's only one thing he had to do, right? The key to success is that he had to learn a little bit of staying power. So this morning, if you're taking notes, this is so important. Here's what staying power is. Staying power is simply persevering with unwavering commitment, even as feelings fade and challenges arise. Now, I'm going to say that again because I really want everybody to get this and grasp this. What is staying power? Preserving with unwavering commitment, even as feelings fade and challenges arise. I don't know about you. That sounds like life. That sounds like faith. That sounds like church. And this is a game changer for your life because our world celebrates starting. Like we all have that friend who's like every week starts a new diet every Monday, right? Keto, Whole 30, Atkins, Paleo. You got to try this. And all of a sudden, Friday comes, right? And you realize that they're really good at starting it. But where's the people that will stick with some stuff? Like we're really good at starting. Like we're really good at starting our Bible reading plan. And then Leviticus comes. You're like, I'm done, right? We're really good at starting with a small group or joining a Grow You class. I love the start of Grow You classes here because we'll start with like 20, but by week two, we're down to 10. Like we're really good at starting. We're really good at starting our church attendance. Really good at starting our church giving. And we're good at starting, but where is the staying power? Like, where are you at staying with what God's called you to stay with? Like, just, I was with the guy just the other day, just like, he was kind of braggy, but he's like, hey, man, I've started 30 businesses. And I said, that's cool. How are those 30 businesses doing? And it was silence. It was crickets. You know, anybody can start a business, but have you stayed with it? Like, can you learn the art of staying with something long enough, hear me, to actually reap the fruit of what God wants to bring into your life? Like my wife and daughter love the invention of this thing called Instapot. The name says it all, right? And how many of you know we are so geared in our natural life? Get this morning. We're so geared in our natural life to think it should automatically apply to our spiritual life. The natural life should automatically apply to the spiritual life. Insta-God, insta-prayers, insta-miracles, insta-happiness, insta-blessing. And when it doesn't happen insta, we quitta, all right? We quitta. Well, it just didn't work for me. It doesn't work, you know. God's not real. I prayed once. Like, I'm just going to move on. I'm frustrated because it just didn't insta happen in my life. And I want to give you some help in here today because we do serve a God, hear me, that will start some things in your life. I'm grateful that when my life was headed toward hell, when my life was headed toward destruction, when I was messed up in sin, that God saved me and gave me a fresh start. He gave me a new course. Anybody else in here just so thankful for that, that God started something in your life? Right? I'm so thankful for that. I'm also understand that some of us need to stop some things in our lives. You know, stop trying to please people. Stop trying to believe the lies that have been spoken over you. Stop. Some of you need to stop some of the destructive habits in your life. And we do serve a God who will also help you stop some things in your life. And we need some starting people and some starting power, and we need some stopping power in our lives. But today, I want to lean into the staying power that God has for your life. And here's the problem with staying power. It's so true. Staying power is not cool. Staying power is not attractive. Staying power is not celebrated in our culture. It's not celebrated that you kept going and that you kept working and that you kept faithful and you kept persevering when everyone else was quitting. When the emotions drove them away, guess what you did? You stayed. Even in our own church, we've seen it time and time again, where people are geared by their emotions. And then what they do? They quit. Well, I'll go somewhere else. And it's not fancy. And we don't celebrate those enough who stay with it. But hear me this morning. I want to encourage, this is the good news. I think God celebrates staying power. God celebrates it. And it reminds me of this plant here, right? I brought this little prop plant with me this morning. It reminds me of it because this plant has potential to bloom. This plant has potential to grow. The idea would be that you'd put it somewhere and it would continue to flourish. It has the potential to produce beautiful flowers. It has the potential to multiply. It has all the potential in it, but the only thing it has to do is stay. And what we do in our lives is we start to believe this lie that, well, success and fulfillment, how about this one, vindication, happiness, all comes when we do this. When we pull ourselves out. And we're like, well, I'm just going to move around from here to here. Well, I'm just going to go here. I'm going to move this way. I'll change this. I'll change that. I don't like this. I don't like that. And so I'm just going to pull myself away from it. You know what? I'm going to jump to this church. I'm going to jump to this thing. I'm going to jump to this group. I'm going to jump to this person. I'm going to jump to this gossip and this attitude and this belief system. And I'll just keep moving and moving and moving. And we keep jumping from place to place and thing to thing. And we wonder why we are so spiritually dead. And we wonder why we're so unhappy. And we wonder why we feel so unfulfilled. And we wonder why sometimes faith feels empty and not real, right? Here's the deal. God puts us and he plants us in a place. He puts us in a place, but we don't want to remain there. You haven't remained long enough to reap the fruit that God wants to bring into your life. He's put you there to stay. You have to remain long enough to say, God, what you're doing in me here, what you want to accomplish through me here means that I have to stay here. And many times it's in the challenge that we quit. Like the group's challenging you, the church is challenging you, your friendships are challenging you, God's challenging you. And so what do? I'm moving away from that. So we disconnect ourselves. Like, I'm not going to let them control me. No one's going to tell me what to believe. No one's going to tell me. I'm an American, by God, right? I don't like what they did. I don't like what they said. So what are you doing? You're out there living out your own, but yet you're dying because your pride is winning. Why? Because God plants you. And he calls you to stay. Calls you to stay. God's called you to get planted. That's why Paul writes it this way in Colossians. He says, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, he gives you one task. Continue. Continue to live your lives for him. Maybe another way to say it is stay with Jesus. Stay with God. And we don't talk about this much. We don't talk about the after the fact. When you say yes to Jesus, the after part of that, that now there's a life of continuing and persevering. Once you say yes, it's not the end all. Now there's a life of continuing and persevering. And this is difficult for all of us. And you know why it's difficult? Because life is hard. Life is hard, and I don't know if you were like me, but when I got saved and decided to truly follow Jesus, everything fell apart. You were waiting for me to say, oh, things were beautiful and great, weren't you? Everything fell apart. Like, it didn't get better right away. You know what? I didn't start tithing, and all of a sudden, checks just start flooding my mailbox, right? Like, no, I think it was the opposite, if I remember correctly. I was more broke when I gave more away. Like, nobody showed me that following Jesus is just not that easy. But can I just challenge you? Yes, it's not easy, but it's effectiveness that you're signing up for. Not easy. In fact, I wrote this way if you're taking notes. You and I get this morning. You're not signing up for easy. You're signing up for eternal. And you're not signing up for easy. You're signing up for eternal. You're not signing up for easy. You're signing up for the long haul. You're signing up for the long haul. And just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, you continue in him, Paul says. And then he goes on the next verse in Colossians. He says, stay what? Rooted and built up in him. Strengthen him. You stay rooted in him, strengthened in him, in your faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with a bad attitude. Overflowing with, isn't it about me? Overflowing with, shouldn't the world just make me feel better? Oh, wait, overflowing with, shouldn't the church just accommodate everything that I want? No. With what? Thankfulness. And you know how you get strong? You stay rooted long enough to actually get some strength in you, to sustain you in the storms that will be ahead of you in life. In Christian Life Center, I want to say this to you. We need some staying power in our life. We need to lean into the fact that God is challenging us to stay even when the feelings have left. Let me say it this way. I have found a trick. You guys ready for this? Man, if you want to go sell Amway or something, this is your time. Let me say it this way. I have found a trick that will make you a success in every area of your life. You better get your pens out because here we go. And you know what it is? A trick that will make you a success in every area of your life. And you know what works best? Whatever you keep doing. Whatever you keep doing. How many know I'm telling you, keep your pins out. The best diet. I figured it out. I know what it is. Are you ready for the best diet? It's the one you keep doing. Wow. The best Bible reading plan? There's a ton of Bible reading plans out. Do you know what the best one is? The one you actually stay doing. You know what? The best church out there? There's a lot of great churches out there. You know what the best church is the one you actually commit to. The one that you stay with. Even when the feelings go and the excitement leaves and the hard times come and the difficult messages come and all those things, we say to ourselves, you know what? I'm not here for the hype. I'm not here for the feelings. I'm here for the long haul. I'm here to stay. I wrote it down this way. This is a great thought. Consistency will take you further than inconsistent bursts of passions ever could. Like, we get full of passions. But that consistency is what's going to take you farther. And there's some confessing Christians that really get excited about something. And yeah, they're all for you. And you want to sign up for the first thing they do because their passion is so real. But the reality is there's confessing Christians that really get excited about something. And then that passion leaves and they give up. And they give up on it. And I want you to know that you will never walk into the purposes of God for your life until you learn the art of staying in what God has for you for the long haul. Like to stay, to learn the art of staying, to receive what God has for your life, and that actually begins to produce fruit in your life. The first challenge, gives me, of the early church, the first challenge of the very early church was being taken, as Jesus was being taken into heaven, and things seemed uncertain for them. Man, this is crazy. The guy we thought was it, he's gone, and like he's praying, and then poof, that would freak you out. Like you're just there, and the next person, he's gone. And yet, the very first challenge in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of what do we do next, was to do what? Stay. Stay in the city. Stay until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it says this interesting phrase afterwards, and they stayed continually. They lived a life of saying, we're going to be committed to what God has for our lives. Even after the feelings of commitment, even after all the passions are gone, because a lot of us live way more by our feelings than we do by our commitment to the Lord. Our feelings are the dictator. Can I say it this way? If you're taking notes, you are never more like God than when you are consistent. I'm like, I wrote that down. I'm like, dude, is that good theology? I don't know. Like, you are never more like God than when you are consistent. And I thought, yeah, you know why? Because how many know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I mean, aren't you glad that you don't have to wake up today and wonder, what version of God am I going to get today? I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but you ought to be thankful. Aren't you thankful that you don't wake up and go, what mood is God in today? Is he in a good mood or a bad mood? Like, here's one for you. How about this? It's summer, I wonder if God's on vacation. Like, you don't have to wonder about that. Like, I'm glad that he doesn't look down on planet Earth and go, I'm just done with that. I'm glad he doesn't look down on planet Earth and say, I'm just done with these people. Like, God is consistent, right? He's committed to us. He's committed to his plan of redemption. He's committed to the call that he's put upon your life. God is consistent. And if you want to be more like God, then you learn to be consistent in your life. Like it's you saying, I'm not going to be a new thing every day. Like, you don't wake up every day and go, well, there's going to be a new version of me every day. No, I'm going to be consistent in who Christ is in me and who God has called me to be. I'm going to be consistent in my disciplines of my time of prayer and worship and attending church and reading his word and worship, all those things. I'm going to be consistent in the disciplines that draw me close to God, and I'm going to add some staying power to my life. I'm going to be consistent. So how do we get it? Like, how do we activate consistency, stay in power in our life? Because I think many of us have lost the art of pushing through things and staying with things long enough to see them bear the fruit in our lives. So quickly this morning, I want to give you three questions to help us to help us today to evaluate, three questions that will help you evaluate your own life. Like, do I have staying power in my life? I'm going to give you three questions. So here's the first one. You ready for this? This is what's going to hurt. But here we go. Here's the first question you ask yourself. Am I surrounded by the right people? People have an amazing impact on your ability to stay. You want some staying power in your life? Evaluate the community that's in your life. Like, nothing will dictate the direction of your life more than the people that you surround yourself with. Like, you really don't change your life until you change some of the people that you've surrounded yourself with in your life. And the scary part is, for some of us, they are even professed Jesus followers. Like, you really don't change. Like, I got radically saved, like, late in my teen years. Like, I grew up in church, but, like, that, you know, that point where, like, no, I'm going all in. I'm not looking back. And I was later in my teen years, and I remember sitting with, asking my youth pastor. I said, hey, I'm all in on this thing. What's one nugget of wisdom you have for me to help me stay? What's the one nugget of win? What do I do to do this thing for the long haul? I remember asking that. I said, I've been raised in church, myself, my friends. Like, we've all had those exciting moments, like the summer camp and the youth convention and the church revivals and all those things. But now I'm at a point where, like, I want to do this for the long haul. And I remember thinking, I'm ready for him to give me the advice of my routine. Like, hey, Heath, you know, you need to read, worship, and pray 20 minutes a day. You know, give me the whole rhyme there. And I was ready for the wisdom, and he said this to me. He goes, Heath, I'm going to tell you two things. You want to do this for a long haul, here's the first thing I want to tell you. And he gave me 1 Timothy 4:12, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And then he gave me the saying, he goes, Heath, the second thing, if you want to do this for a long haul, is you evaluate the community in your life. Because you do not change your life until you change your friends. And he said this to me, and I never forget it, and it's for you today. It's your community that makes your commitment last longer. It's your community that makes your commitment last longer. That's some wisdom for all of us today. Community makes commitment last longer. It's not about us being better or you being better. It's about changing the influences in your life so you and they can be better. It's the honesty to say to yourself, I'm going this direction. Are you? Are you? It's a tough conversation to have in life, but it will save your life. I mean, Proverbs tells us, look what Proverbs 13 says. What does it say? Walk with the wise. And guess what you become when you do that? Wise. Walk with the wise and you become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And some of us keep suffering harm after harm after harm, not because you're a bad person, but because you've surrounded yourself by fools. Ouch. Don't use that tactic, right, when you're talking to your friends. You're a fool. I can't hang out with you anymore. But hear me, listen. I know how out of our love And even with the desire to be on mission, we've kept people in our lives that are toxic to our faith and to our growth because we love them and because we want to be on mission. And I want to say this, as your pastor, some of us need to break off some relationships that have held you from a God's best and from a God's first mentality. And it's a simple statement that you say, I got to go after God for the long haul. And I think we need to look at some of those influences in our life and say, listen, hey, you can come with me, but I'm going this way. This is the direction that I'm going to go. You know why it's easy to get passionate on Sundays? You know why it's easy to get passionate on Sundays? It's simply this, because we're surrounded by the right people. Because we're surrounded, that's why we can get passionate. And you know why you can get so worldly on Friday? Who are you surrounded with? Because here's the reality, God didn't change between Sunday and Friday. Who changed? And anything you do in life that is a success will only happen in community. Community makes commitment last longer. Trust me, like your involvement here will make your commitment last longer. Man, this church, CLC, is full of people that have been here 40 years, 50 plus years. They've been here for that long. How? They've seen a lot over 40 and 50 years, trust me. I just believe community makes commitment last longer. Hear me. Your spiritual health this morning needs a community of believers in your life. It needs it. You know what they call people who do workouts at home alone? Out of shape. And you know what they call Christians that sit home and never really connect with the godly community? You know what they call them? Vulnerable. Because that's who the enemy is out to attack. That's who the enemy wants to take out, because the enemy knows if he can get you disconnected, if he can get you to this place, then he can lie to you and he can add toxic thoughts in your life. Like he can get you distracted. Like you become, when you're out here solo on your own, guess what you become? A very easy target. Hear me, all of you in this room can thrive. Every one of us, we can thrive. But your decision to thrive is connected with what? Who you're planted with. Am I planted with the right people in the right community? Listen, that's why at CLC we do things like legacy builders. Our 55 plus community every Thursday night. If you're over 55, I know you're like, well, I'm 55, I'm still young. Liar. Like, you are old. No, it's not about old. Every Thursday night we have legacy builders. They meet in their own room. It's an amazing time of togetherness, of connectivity. Like, why do we do hiking groups? That sounds horrible. Who would do that? But we have hiking groups where they go off and just hike and try not to get eaten by bears. But we do hot dogs on the lawns for men. We do lemonade on the lawn for women on Wednesday nights. We have young adults that actually meets tonight. If you're a young adult, if you're in that 20, 18 to 30, whatever age, right here, 6:30, be a part of that. We do young adults group. That's why we have youth ministry. That's why we have kids ministry. That's why we have mom to mom. If you're a mom in here, we have a group that meets just about moms. That's why we have men's ministry that's meeting every other Saturday. That's why we have Grow You that's starting up in September every Wednesday night. That's why we have home groups that are meeting. Do I go on further? Can you want me to go on further? Like, I can go on and on, all to connect you with the right group, so that you can thrive in the things of God. That's what it's about. How many know the people in your life matter? They matter. And that's why when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, I love the scripture, the church started from that moment. And the very first challenge of the church, from the time that the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, they had the very first challenge. And this is what it says. Look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Look at the very part of this. They did what? They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. Like, this is the commitment. This is the staying power. We devoted ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayers. They devoted themselves, the staying power, the community, being together. What did they know? The same thing you need to know today. Yes, you need God's word, but you also need God's people. You need both. And can I challenge us today? Some of us in this room, and I'm not trying to be, this is where I told you, like, don't get offended, all right? Just, I love you. The gospel's offended. But we show up late. We leave early. We don't go to the next step of involvement. It's like we just check the box on a Sunday and that's it. And I want to encourage you, man, get planted. That's where you're going to see all the things that God wants to do in your life really, really, really take off. Like, your life won't bear fruit until you learn to get planted in the house of God. It's about getting around the right people so that you can flourish in all the amazing things, and he has amazing things, and all the amazing things that God wants to do in your life. Again, that's why the psalmist wrote it in Psalm 92. Look what he says, the righteous will flourish. I don't know about you. I hope you get this one. I want to flourish. I'm not there yet. I want to flourish. And look what he goes, like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Look at planted in the house of God, they will flourish. Planted in the house of God, they will flourish in the very courts of God. How do we flourish? We get planted in the house of God. We get connected. And the hard part is, I want you to get this, especially my parents in here. It's hard part is you don't get connected when it's convenient for you. You don't get connected when it's convenient. Hear me. If you're waiting for your life, your schedule, your time to open up, if you're waiting for when it's going to be convenient, hear me, it never will be. I remember someone told me, we were looking to have kids, and I said, my response was, I'm waiting to get out of debt. They said, you'll never have kids. I'm like, good point. Let's have a kid. And now we have debt. Hear me, if you're waiting, like I hear it all the time, well, my schedule, I'm just so booked right now. I just got all this going on. My kids got soccer and my kids got basketball. I got this. I'm going to say this all love because they're not here. But all the amount of parents who sign their kids up for every sporting event they can be a part of and they miss church for it. Some of these kids are 4 years old and they're missing church for soccer. I say it in all love, man. I know I'm just in a bad mood today, but and I get it. I just say there's balance. There is. I'm not saying you got to pull your kids out of everything and not let them be. There's balance to it. There is. But I'm telling you, the pendulum is swinging the other way, where the house of God is an afterthought, and everything else is more important. When you wait for convenience to get planted, it will never happen. That's why it's effort. That's why it's called priority. Like, we go after connection because we understand that even in the stressful times, even in the bad times, even in the good times, that this is where I'm planted and I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay with it. And in all love, and I'll finish this point, but in all love, how many know, and I'm not picking on you, but in the big C Christian world, we become consumer Christians. Well, I love that worship song, but I don't love that worship song. For a lot of my seniors in here, do you know that your music was radical when you liked it? Your parents were shaking their heads when you were singing your old tunes. Your hymns were sung in bars. And I love hymns. I love it all. I'm just encouraging us this morning. We can't become consumer Christians. Like, I love this worship song, but I don't like this worship song. I don't like this. I don't like that. Like, I just wish church was an hour and we're out of here. I'm with you. I wish it was too. Right? I like this. I like that. I don't. And what we're doing is we treat church like we are in the food court of a mall. Like, well, I like a little bit sample of this, a little sample of that. Let's. How many of you walk into the food court of a mall and you're like, what am I in the mood for today? And you look around, and we treat church the same way. And we wonder why our life has no impact. We wonder why our life lacks joy. We wonder why our life lacks purpose. It all changes, church, when we commit to the house of God. Let me say this. Let me tell you, CLC is not perfect. And I know you're out there like, duh, of course. I mean, look at you, right? Like, CLC is not perfect. Hear me. If we were perfect, we would ask you not to commit here. If we were perfect, we would not ask you to come here. Why? Because you'd mess it up. You'd mess it up, right? But it's not perfect. And how many of you are glad to know that we are not called to be perfect? Like, we are just a collection of imperfect people serving a perfect God. Just imperfect people serving a perfect God. We are just called to follow that one perfect God. And we at CLC are not perfect. But hear me this. I believe with all my heart, because I'm the lead pastor, but we are on the right pursuit. We're on the right pursuit. We're going to go after God. We're going to go after holiness. We're going to go after all that God has for our church and for your lives. So I'm just saying to you, find a house of God and get committed to it. So my summer challenge is this, as I close up at this point. My summer challenge, and maybe even going to the fall challenge for all of you in this room, is this. Are you actually committed to CLC? Are you committed to the church? Do you tithe here? Are your finances here? How about this one? Are you praying for your pastors? Are you serving the house of God? Are you in it for convenience or are you in it for commitment? Because for me and for my house, we're going to make the commitment to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make the commitment to get planted in the house of God. It only gives you staying power. Let me give the second question to help us to evaluate. Do we have staying power? And I love this one. This one will be quicker, but hear me. Here's your question you ask. Do I remember my why? Do I remember my why? Like, why did I start this in the first place? How many know your why keeps you going? Your why is what moves you forward. It's what drives you. Years ago, I went to this place. Many years ago, I was a youth pastor. And I went to this place in Springfield, Missouri, with a group of people, and the place, the title of this place is called Barn Swinging. Nothing is more redneck than barn swinging, right? And literally this place in Springfield, Missouri, is they harness you in, you stand on the top of a barn, and you jump. And you fall toward the ground to a bunch of goats that are on the bottom of the ground. And you swing down and you just miss the goats and you swing back and forth. I told you, nothing more redneck than barn swinging. True story. And I remember being at the top of this barn as an 18-year-old college kid harnessed me in with my life in his hands. And I remember asking myself, oh, he's up there doing this. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And I even went a step further, true story, and I asked myself, why am I paying to do this? Why am I paying to do this? Like, how stupid am I? And I did it. I jumped, right? Because the only why that I could come up with was everyone is watching. And I had too much pride to say no. I want you to hear me. God has something for you to stay doing. But you will never stay doing it if you forget why you started it. That's why throughout scriptures, get this, the word remember, the actual word remember throughout scriptures is mentioned 800 times. 800 times. Remember, remember, remember. Here, get this if you're taking notes. Why? Because forgetting is the enemy to your faithfulness. Forgetting. Why are you here today? Why are you here? Why are you doing what you're doing? Forgetting is the enemy to your faithfulness. And there's a lot of people that have a call of God on their lives, but the enemy gives you what I like to call spiritual amnesia, where you all of a sudden stop it. You stop what you're doing. You forget, why am I doing this? Why am I tithing? Why am I giving my money? Why am I serving? Why am I committed to this church? Why am I committed to God? And you have to remember your why, because remembering your why gives you the drive. It gives you the fuel. It gives you the reason to get up in the morning. It gives you the reason to read your Bible and to pray. It gives you the reason to just keep going and keep doing when adversity comes your way, when confusion comes your way, when something you don't like comes your way. It keeps you to keep going when you remember why I started this in the first place. And I wrote this down, I think it was so important, because I hear it all the time. But I wrote down this way, burnout isn't a result of what you do. Burnout is a result of forgetting why you do it. Wow, that's really good. Why am I doing this? Why am I here this morning? Why did I get up? And I hear people all the time like, oh, they're like, I just got burned out serving in kids ministry. It was tough, those little rascals, right? Like like those kids never said thank you to me. Like, really? Like, do we sign up to hear accolades? Or do we sign up because we know our why is impacting the next generation? Like, to see them flourish and excel for the kingdom of God. It's remembering your why. Like, I've heard people who say to me, I don't even know why I'm married. You don't know why you're married? Like, you don't know that you made a covenant before God, a vow before God, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer. You're not in it because you have feelings for it. You're in it because you made a vow before God, and you're going to remember why. And your why is going to keep you going in the hard times. Like you remember your why. Like, do you know why you're giving to God? Why you give of your own tithe and your monies? Like, I've heard people say, well, I gave generously once, or I give generously once in a while. I mean, isn't that enough? Hear me. This is so key. You will never find someone who does something one time and all of a sudden they become a success. You'll never find it. If you find it, send me the article, okay? The one person who did one time and all of a sudden became a success. Well, I went to church one time and it didn't change my life. So it doesn't work. Like, one time? Like, you thought going to church one time is going to change up your mess? It's going to take more than once to change your mess. Well, I read my Bible one time. How about this one? I went to the gym one time and I didn't see those abs, right? it's what drives you. Your why drives you forward. Your drive drives you past your emotions. Your drive drives you, or your why drives you past your hurts. Your why drives you past your disappointments. And it causes you to keep going. You started tithing not because you're feeling guilty, church. Your why is because my why for me, why I always tithe is because every time I tithe, I feel like I'm telling God, you're first in my life. Because there's nothing that's harder to do than to give up my money. But every time I do it, I'm like, God, you're first in my life. And I'm in it not because of what I can get from you. I'm in it because God is first in my finances. And how many know wherever your finances go, your heart goes? Try it. If you haven't, I challenge you. Try it. www.missoulachurch.com/giving. Try it. I want my heart to go for the purposes of God. It's your why. You know why you go to church on Sundays? Because if you don't know why you're here, guess what you'll do? You'll stop coming here. You know why you come? If you don't know your why, you'll stop coming when it gets difficult to show up. If you don't know your why, you'll stop going when you think something better or something more important comes along. You know why you're here? Because you need a greater why. And you know what my why is for my family and what's been our why our whole lives? Here's my why for why I come to church on Sunday. Because Sunday, how many of you know, according to our American culture, Sunday is the first day of the week. Technically, Sunday is the first day of the week. And how you start the first, how many of you know, dictates the rest. That's my why. So in my house, we're going to show up and we're going to serve and we're going to worship because we want God to know He's first in our lives. And we want God to know that He's first in life and He sets the tone for everything else. And so we're going to start our week in the presence of God and walk into the world with His power. That's what we do. That's why we go to church on Sunday. When we worship, we don't forget your why. How many know the song is not about you? Remember, this whole thing, why we even do it, wasn't for you in the first place. You know why we worship? Here, I can tell you why we worship. Old school. Because we were once lost, and now we are found. That's why we worship. We worship. How many know we worship because we were once blind, but now we see? That's why we worship. We worship because God saved you. And the one who saved you, how many know, is worth all the worship and all the praise that you could possibly give him? That's why we worship. It's not going to I'm not going to let myself, I'm not going to give that athlete out there better celebration than the one that I'm going to celebrate the God who saved my life, who placed me in eternity, who rescued me. I'm going to remember my why, because it's not always going to be easy, church. Paul challenges us in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, what does he say? Be steadfast. You know what he says? Unmovable. I'm not going to be movable. I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable. Like, I'm not going to be uprooting my life. I'm not going to be uprooting my faith. And he says this, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your why, knowing that your why is not in vain. The things you do, knowing that your staying power is not in vain. There's purpose behind it. When we are planted in the Lord, all that I do for him is not in vain. You know what my why is? I hope you get this. Here's my why. This should be your why. Here's my why. God is more faithful than I am. That's my why. When I am weak, he is strong. How many know that? When I am struggling, he is with me. He is worth my effort. He is worth my staying power. So we remember our why. So today I want to give you this last one, real quick. I'm done. How to have staying power. When it all clears out, here's the great question to ask yourself, to evaluate, do I have staying power? Here's the third question. Am I relying on God's power? Am I relying on God's power? This summer, June, true story, I was just reflecting on this. This summer, June 18th, was my 31 years of full-time ministry. 31 years of full-time ministry. Thank you. Yeah, you can celebrate it. I celebrate it. Every year that I make it, 31 years, drawing a paycheck, full-time ministry. And I'm reflecting on this, and as I was thinking of all, I was thinking about all the times in 31 years that I wanted to quit. Probably like last month, all right? All the times I wanted to quit. Think about all the times that I was totally broke. Over those 31 years, I was reflecting on the times I was frustrated, the times I was hurt, the times where people rejected me. I was thinking about times when I honestly didn't think I would make it. And then I asked the question, well, what's kept you going in 31 years? And I reflected, well, I've had some good people around me. I've had some really good community in my life. I constantly am reminding myself of the why. Like, I know that God's called me. I know he's placed my life, and it's sustained me. But then I thought, you know, honestly, a lot of that is on me. It's on me to get the right community. It's on me to remember my why. But the reality is, I think I've been able to sustain it. I think you've been able to sustain it because what they were waiting for in Acts 2, what they were waiting for that Jesus talked about in Luke 24, is God told them to stay, to remain until the Holy Spirit comes and pours his Spirit out upon them. And get this as I close. God's plan for your life, God's plan for my life, how many know, is way too big for us to accomplish in our own power. You just can't accomplish it. Like, there's not enough talent, not enough strength, there's not enough know-how in this room to accomplish the task that God has for us. But here's the good news. We don't have to do it on our own talent. We don't have to do it in our own strength. We don't have to do it in our own know-how. Because Jesus encourages us when he talks to us, when he writes these in his final discourse in John chapter 15, where he says, listen, remain in me. And the beautiful part about that scripture is it didn't stop there. Guess what it says after? And I will what? Remain in you. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. And then he challenges us because you know what? There's no way that you can bear fruit, no good fruit, on your own. But the Bible goes on and reminds us and says with him, all things are possible. All things are possible. When you are weak and you feel like throwing in the towel and moving on, we're able to lean into the strength of God. Even when you've messed up, even if you're in this room and you're like, well, I've quit on God so many times, you can still go to the God of mercy and the God of love. And we can say, God, I've been unfaithful, but would you still be faithful? Would you still be faithful? And by his power, guess what he does? He anoints us, he equips us, he forgives us, and he strengthens us. And he truly becomes what the Bible calls the author and the perfecter of our faith. And he truly reminds us as we say, God, I want you. That same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now resides inside of you. You talk about power. That God will strengthen you so that you can persevere, so that you can be faithful to him. And as I close today, all eyes on me, I want to say this to you prophetically today. Let me speak this over your life. Hear me, CLC. You will accomplish the call on your life. You will accomplish the call of God on your life. Listen to me, you're not some firework that blasts into the sky, explodes with big, great big excitement, and then falls to the ground. That's not who you are. You and I have staying power today. We have staying power. You have community, you have a why, and more important than anything else, you have the power of God in your life. And we're gonna have those moments of weaknesses. We're gonna have those struggles and those hard times. The world has the ability to just suck the life out of you. But that's why you and I today can lean into the presence and the power of God to help us to stay. Would you stand with me this morning? I was recalling a story that happened years ago when Rachel was young. We were at the beach in Florida and I was trying to impress my kids with a thing called a boogie board. And you get on these boogie boards and you try to catch the waves and the wave brings you in. She's little and she's learning too. I'll remember like the wave comes, and at this moment, it literally was this heart-wrenching moment because she flipped into the wave and she's flying all over the place and like the waves spinning her around. And I remember Rachel waving her hands. All I could see is hands coming out of the water. And she's going, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And can I just tell you, there wasn't a moment when that happened that I paused and said, well, this will be a good lesson for her. There was never a moment that I paused and said, well, that will teach her something right there. Like when my daughter cried out for help, there was nothing that would stop me from getting to her. Nothing. And here's what the Father in heaven does. How many know the Father in heaven rescues that child that throws up their hands and says, I need you. I just need you. And if you're here this morning right now before we worship, if you need God, I just want you to throw your hands up and just say, God, I need you. I need you. And he's not going to stand there and just say, oh, that's really cool. He's going to rescue you and he's going to save you and he's going to fill you with his power and he's going to be there with you and he's going to give you the staying power. Say, God, I'm here for you. It's like, God, I need you today. I need your power. I need your goodness in my life, God. Would you come along and rescue me and save me? Would you help me to persevere? Help me to learn to stay in your presence. Lord, I know you didn't call us to easy. But you called us to effectiveness. So Lord, as we say, I need you, would you just give us staying power today? The staying power to commit to the things that you've called us to commit to. Say, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not going to waffle back and forth. I'm not going to live my life uprooted from you anymore, God. But God, I'm going to stay planted in all the things that you have for me today. In Jesus' powerful name. Come on, let's worship him this morning. He's worthy.
You are my one. You are my one. I don't want anyone else. I don't need anything else. You are my one. You are my one. I don't want anyone else. I don't need anything else.
Father, that's our prayer today. Just give us Jesus. Lord, he's the centerpiece of staying power. He is our why. He is our motivation. And God, he is our power. So Lord, just give us Jesus today. Holy Spirit, move in this room, God. And I pray that every one of us, Lord, whether we are 80 years old or 10 years old, that God, we evaluate. Lord, am I staying rooted? Am I staying planted? Have I accomplished all that you want for me? Is my life bearing the fruit that you want it to bear? And if it's not, God, would you convict us? Would you change us? Would you cause us to put in the effort? Lord, not easy, but to be effective. And I pray that today, Lord. Just as we prayed at the end, talked at the end of this, some of us desperately need God today. None of us are like that little kid in the water saying, Daddy, I need you. And if you're in that room today and we're here, if you need Jesus, he's right here and he's accessible to you. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I make this final prayer, this final challenge today. And if you're in the room today and you haven't started right, just haven't started right, maybe at some point you started and you quit. Maybe you just have never started at all. This is your moment for a fresh start. This is your moment to say, God, I need you. And we're not going to embarrass you. This is right between you and the Lord and your own time to make that statement. But if you're in the room today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you would say, listen, I need a fresh start. I need to start something with God. I need to make him my everything. I need Jesus today to come into my life. If that's you today, heads bowed, eyes closed, but would you just put your hand up and put it back down again? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Anyone else? Thank you. Come on. This is your opportunity. Anybody else? I need Jesus. It's my fresh start moment. So Lord, right now, there are men and women in this room who said, I need a fresh start. Help them, I pray. If that's you in this room, that's where you're at. It's so simple. Right where you're standing. In your own self, in your own way, say, God, would you come into my life? I want to start something new with you. But Lord, I'm committed to not just starting, I'm committed to staying. I'm committed to staying. Would you come into my life? That's that simple. Lord, come into my life. I give you my heart. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us all for places of apathy. Forgive us of places of laziness. Forgive us of places of selfishness. And Lord, I pray that today all of us in this room say, man, I want to be rooted. I want to be rooted in all that God has for me and all that God's called me to be. I want his purposes for my life. That's our prayer this morning. Lord, today, would you bless your church? This is your church. You own it. You're the Lord of it. Would you bless it? Would you keep us humble? Would you keep us in a place and a posture of saying, God, we are consecrated to you and we want your will and your ways. Keep us humble, we pray. And everyone in this room, in the midst of our staying power, will be very careful to give you all glory and all praise that is due your most powerful and awesome name. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, come on, amen, amen. Let's give it up to God today. He's worthy, praise. Amen. Hey, we're going to dismiss in a moment. A couple challenges for you. Number one, we have this prayer corner over here. If you're here today and you're like, man, I just need prayer. It doesn't matter what it is. We got wonderful people. People will just be discreet and private. But they just want to pray with you. So just make your way quietly over to this corner. We want to pray for you. So take time to do that. Can I challenge you with this? The greatest growth strategy is people inviting people to church. Can you invite someone to church? Bring someone with you. I mean, this is awesome. I'm awesome. Why would you not want to bring them? Bring them to church with you. Right? Invite someone to church. We're looking forward to all that God has. Check out what's happening. Membership, baptism, classes, groups, Wednesday night prayer, all the things happening here. We pray God's blessing upon you. Have a great summer day in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.